once overlooked but no more. Art by Indigenous American artists is getting more attention these days, and one new project has found a way to push the movement further ahead. Jeffrey Brown has our report, the first in a series on contemporary Native arts for our Arts and Culture series, Canvas.
On a hilltop in New York's Hudson Valley, buildings housing artworks created by contemporary Indigenous artists from the U.S. and Canada. Among them, Never Forget, by Tlingit Unanga artist Nicholas Galanin. Beauty the Beast, by Santa Clara Pueblo artist Rose Simpson. War Horse in Babylon, by Jean Quick-to-See Smith of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Nation. Curator Candace Hopkins.
I say it's a bit of an activist collection because it's meant to correct, you know, this absence, particularly for these major institutions.
An activist collection?
Yes, which means that it has a single purpose. You know, its purpose is to support the work of living artists making work right now.
Some of the activism is making sure it gets out in the world.
Absolutely. And we try to reduce as many barriers to that as possible.
Hopkins, a citizen of Carcrosh Tagish First Nation in the Canadian Yukon Territory, is now executive director of Forge Project, co-founded in 2021 by philanthropist Becky Gotchman and art dealer Zach Foyer, with a clear mission: to support Native artists through purchases of their work and then to lend those works to museums and other arts institutions, raising awareness of and access to Native art. It's part of what Hopkins sees as a growing movement.
People are recognizing that one of the missing narratives in American art history is actually the narrative of the development of Native art and the influence Native art has had even on how we understand this country, how we understand the formation of this country.
The buildings that house Forge were originally designed by famed Chinese artist Ai Weiwei. The location, the land itself, is important.
Forge is about establishing presence, right? It's about Indigenous placemaking. And that's just not about people.
It's not just about the art.
And it's not just about the art. It's of the places where we live.
This is an area known to the famed 19th century Hudson River School of Art. Landscapes that captured the drama and beauty, but not the original inhabitants who'd been killed or displaced farther west.
To return to this region, I think for Native folks is also, you know, to talk about what that original desire was, but to say, you know, there's actually longer histories of these lands. They've been populated for an incredibly long period of time.
But Forge's main target is the art world. Its collection now has some 144 works by 48 artists, and it has loaned art to institutions far and wide, including the Hammer Museum in Los Angeles, the Tucson Museum of Art, the Whitney in New York. For Hopkins, 45, it represents a shift from when she was first starting out.
There were so many good Native artists working contemporary art, but they still weren't getting the big shows. It was a kind of, you know, the beginnings of a kind of national conversation that had been, you know, coming actually since the 60s. But what they needed was they needed allies in these large institutions.
Bias? Racism? I mean, what, hostility? What is it? What do you think?
I think that there was definite bias, and I think that, you know, most of the people that were in positions of power had no knowledge of this work, and they didn't take the time to get to know it. That shows that there's a kind of elitism that underpins a lot of institutions, and it kept a lot of us out.
Forge also offers residencies to Native artists of all kinds. One is Laura Ortman, a White Mountain Apache who's long lived and worked in New York. A musician and composer, her sonic genre bending has been heard and seen in performing arts venues and museum exhibitions. Forge and other new initiatives, she says, are making a difference.
We could find each other through these pathways artistically, which I was missing for many decades. Something's happened where that loneliness and isolation is disappearing. And why is that? Because we're making spaces for ourselves. We're taking care of our our own communities and making sure it's not silenced anymore. You know, it's incredible. I love that.
Also expanding the scope, subject matter, and styles that define Indigenous art today. Some contemporary artists are using older materials such as beads, long considered the stuff of craft, in new ways. Others find new paths to explore long simmering issues of land use and displacement.
One of the definitions of Native art is that, you know, we don't have boundaries between our, I would say, our personal lives, our political lives, and our artistic lives, because they're all intertwined. You know, in a way, we don't have that privilege.
Exhibitions of Native artists at leading museums in recent years offer signs of change. Forge aims to build on that momentum.
You need to have support from institutions and collectors. There needs to be critical writing about that work, so catalogs and essays, exhibitions. There needs to be an art market, so that work being represented by galleries.
In theory, if you're successful, then you wouldn't be needed anymore.
That's right.
You'd go out of business.
Right, exactly. And that would be success.
That day remains far off. For now, the collecting and lending continue. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown at Forge Project in New York's Hudson Valley.
You know, it's striking to see how the richness, the significance of the art extends to the land itself.
That's right. And I loved how the executive director talked about how projects like this actually help Native artists create their own space,
yeah,
not just change the institution.
Yeah, absolutely.